Dude, I'm so used to piss tests throughout my life that there was a period of time I couldn't piss without someone watching me.
Welcome to the Selling Out Show.
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
What it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side, I have two fine gentlemen. One of which is Toby Schofield, and the other, my good old pal, Nate Gorzinski. Gentlemen, how are you this fine day?
It's pretty simple for me to answer this right now. Hungover.
Ooh.
Hungover.
Yeah? I'm less hungover. I think I go through my life in a somewhat state. I did so much getting fucked up when I was younger that my whole life is one long sort of hangover. But
it's just
I'm no
residual
worse
hungoverness.
Yeah. But I'm all right. Dave, how are you doing, man?
I'm all right, I guess. I'm a little tired. I've just been in a funk lately. I seem like I'm always in a funk. Every time I talk to someone, how are you? Oh, I'm okay. I should just lie to everybody, tell them I'm fucking fantastic. I got an umbrella like Mary Poppins or some shit.
That's what you do at the grocery store when you know, you're checking out and they're like, how's your day? You're like, you don't break down and you're like, actually, let me tell you about the bills. Let me tell you about work.
Why not, dude? Maybe we should. We should start like a more honest society where, yeah, when somebody asks, how are you? You're just like, well, you know, I got laid off. My boss tried to suck my dick and I don't even think he's hot. You know, and you get into
I was going to say break down into tears to the cashier. Be like, hey, my boss tried to suck my dick. It's like, whoa, tell me more, please.
And he's not even good at it.
Oh, my God.
You know, that would be an interesting, like, podcast show. Like, if you worked at, like, a checkout, like, just little interviews with people, be like, hi, how's your day? Be honest, because this is for a podcast.
Yeah.
Just hand them a microphone and say, all right, talking to this for while we're checking you out.
Yeah, dude.
Well, see, I'm kind of...
You got an idea.
Yeah, I'm antisocial, though, so I'm going to talk to the automatic teller, one of those robot ones, instead. It's like, would you like to pay with cash or card instead of pushing the button? I'd be like, I've got no will to live.
The things like, stop bitching at me, you little bitch.
But no, I don't know, man. I've been like all dead set on being creative and fulfilling the dreams I've had my entire life. And yeah, I sit in front of the TV like a moth to flame. And then I realize I'm wasting time. I'm like, why am I just sitting here vegging out when I have all these ideas in my head and I have limbs, I have digits, I have ways to express them. I have my mouth, which probably isn't as efficient as your boss, but still, you know what I mean? And instead, I'm just watching the same show I've seen a couple times. And you could say, oh, I'm using it for inspiration or something, but that's bullshit because I'm late. No, but that's the thing. I'm lazy.
Yeah. Join the club, man. We're all lazy. Dude, we have so much potential, you know? We're like, I think all three of us are pretty creative folks, you know? And we have this outlet, which is great, and we're able to just kind of let our brains pour out into the ether. But overall, I know, you know, myself, I love creating. I love making music. You know, I always talk about music on the show, and I've talked about how I still play in bands, and lately I've been grateful because I was able to start jamming with my buddies again, and now all of a sudden half of my friends are nervous because of the new COVID re-spike, whatever, the new outbreak, the whatever, and so it's like
COVID.
A lot of people a lot of people are nervous to get together and jam now, so it sucks, but whatever, you know.
Well, in that case, yeah. Couldn't you just do it on Zoom, maybe a jam, or just send each other tracks and then overlay? I mean, there's still, I know I'm like
No, you're right.
But I'm just saying there's like other avenues for certain sure. things like that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. But,
again,
but
it goes back to lazy. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Was, all right. Well,
I was just going to say.
What's that?
I got the laziness too, though. I mean, I love painting. I painted like two pictures back to back, and then like was like I bought like six canvases. I was really motivated, and then once I had all those canvases, I was like, oh, that's so much work. I don't want to start another project. Even like my original podcast, like I'm so lazy to do the research, and it's motivation. And yeah. I tried to do a new project this week. It kind of got detoured because of a small emergency.
Oh, shit.
I was going to do drunk cooking. Okay, the concept is that I'm very, very picky. And I was going to call it Getting Cooking While Toby With Drunk. And because I'm really picky and I don't try new things, I was going to force myself to try new foods. Right. I was going to teach myself how to cook because I love cooking, but I cook for me. So, you know, it's simple stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was going to get drunk just for the funniness of it. While I was setting up, I had a friend come over, and her two-year-old got scratched on the face by my new kitten. And
oh,
It left a big, huge, like, gap on his face. So we ran him to the emergency room, and kind of it kind of put that on hold until next week.
Wow.
Yeah. He had to get kitten two stitches.
Scratch. I was expecting something completely different when you brought up the whole cooking show idea. I was expecting, like, a Dan Aykroyd, Julia Child, you know, kind of style of blood rushing from your...
Drinking the sherry while you're
Yeah, exactly.
Cooking.
Like you lost a finger. But you're like, no, it's just a toddler gets scratched by my cat.
You know, it's funny because all my friends were like, please do not cut off your finger. So the first thing I did was I posted a picture on like Snapchat and stuff of the emergency room.
Oh,
and everyone was like, what the fuck did you do? And I'm like, no, not for me. But it was funny to get everyone all worked up and scared.
Yeah. But who would have thought, you know, of all the things that can go wrong, a drunk cooking show, kitten scratch, not high on the list.
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. I hadn't even taken one drink yet. I was still setting up all my lights and my cameras, and I was trying to get it all like, where do I want to stand? And then all of a sudden he started crying, and we were like, what happened? And then his face just started bleeding. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. So,
wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Wow. I hope you at least used some of that blood to season the food you were cooking. You know?
No, I still have all the food in my refrigerator. This was about 4 days ago, and I keep telling myself, oh, I'm going to do it tonight. And then, of course, something comes up. Yeah. Back to the laziness. Yeah. I had to watch all the I'm going through all the Wrong Turn movies. So
yes. You know,
that kind of detoured my nice. Cooking show and my creativity.
Yeah, so. Nothing like the inbred mountain people, you know, cheer you up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just to kind of, I want to get back on this real quick.
Sure.
Is that Toby brought up something very interesting to me that I can relate to.
Okay.
Well, to us. He didn't bring it up to me personally, just the entire world at large. But how you mentioned that you got really excited, so you bought a lot of paints, and you did a couple canvases, and you went all gung-ho into it, and then poof. It was gone.
Yes.
I can relate to this because when I look at my life and I go, what am I doing with myself? I'm wasting every moment, precious moment I have left. I jump on the computer. I start writing because I have this kind of show you, you know, how the sausage is made. I get this Swamp Thing story. I love Swamp Thing. That I've wanted to tell for years. I've had notes scribbled everywhere. I've always promised myself I'd do it. I never have. And, for example, the other night, I had another one of those moments where my brain was on fire. And, I mean, I am up till 3:30, 4 in the morning, just clickety-clack, typing away. Yes, I'm finally doing it. I'm fulfilling my life's mission. And that was, what, like a week and a half ago.
Oh, man. Well,
so, yeah.
It's a little slow to get started sometimes.
We're talking years here, Nate. This is not, you just kind of
really slow.
Yeah, you made it kind of like a when I said, that was a week and a half ago. But I mean, I came up with this concept, which I think might be one of the finest Swamp Thing stories of all time. Nice. Many, many moons ago.
Move over, Alan Moore.
No, not quite. I'm sure. But at this rate, I don't think anybody's moving anywhere. But Yeah, so it's been frustrating to me, and I don't know, like, it's like that block that you put on yourself, that invisible wall that you put in your own mind, that you built, that's impossible to scale or run through or anything. Mm-hmm. Where does this come from? How do I break through it?
It is weird. It is weird, like, that sudden, like, surge of motivation where you're like, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. I've bought 6 canvases. I'm about to paint all my masterpieces in the next 3 months. Yeah. And then, like, I get home and I look at the blank canvas and I'm just like, I don't know what to even... I don't have anything coming to mind of what I want to recreate, because I mostly do, like, images, like, from movies and stuff, and
that's interesting.
It just, like, there was nothing that, like, grabbed me, and I was like, you should paint this!
Yeah.
And it just, now all the canvases have been stacked up in my living room for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks.
Yet Toby always finds enough time to masturbate every morning.
Hey.
I know, isn't that weird?
Isn't that crazy?
He's a hero. He's a trooper. You know? But I think some people look at blank canvases and see potential and, like, look at all this room I have to play with. And sometimes it just looks like, look at all this shit I gotta do, man, you know? And I understand that. I'm kind of at that point. I think a lot of us are. And it sounds like the three of us are. We're all feeling a little daunted by our self-made obstacles or whatever, even if that's just laziness. But I do want to quickly say, when you said I want to create my masterpieces, I feel like masterpieces is one of those words that sounds like it should have a different plural, like masterpoose.
Yeah.
I don't know, is that right?
Master pie,
there you go. You know, a lot of people think octopuses, maybe we've talked about this before, but octopi, people say octopi, but octopuses is the correct term.
Oh, you know, is it? I've always thought it was octopi. Like, I've been the one that's, you know, when, oh, actually, it's octopi.
Yes, a lot of people do. A lot of people, and who knows, the way our society goes, when enough people start saying something, they just change the fucking dictionary, man. I know. I've bitched about that before.
Wait. By that logic, if we all start saying 3 inches is huge, and we get that going,
nope,
it's huge. Uh-uh. We're setting the new standard right here. 3 inches.
Yeah. Big. I don't know. I think it's just grammar that works with. I don't think reality and dick size is affected.
You know, when I was a young man, I thought my vocabulary was very good. And I was people have even said to me, you know, you were very well spoken and what have you. But the older I get, the more stupid I become. And Nate has brought up when I say things incorrectly on the show many, many times, to the point where I've even subscribed to one of those word of the day emails.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I get it every day. I look at it and go, oh, interesting. And then I never remember the word. So there you go.
Well, does that fall into the laziness of, like, you had motivation to try to learn more, and then you're just like, I don't know. I'm not going to remember that today.
I don't know. It's maybe like a spelling bee thing where they say, can you use that in a sentence? And I stop and I think about it for a second. I go, I'm never going to use that. I'm, you know, that's just not going to, like, roll off my tongue in general conversation. It just isn't going to happen. Mm. And then I delete it and I just go about my day and I think about Nate and, again, how he's got the vocab down, the grammar good, and I'm just a dumb hillbilly.
it's Texas, guys.
Well, no offense, I'm not from Texas, so it's.
I know, but you're there.
Yes, he is. He is now learning our lingo and our draw. I can't wait till you sound like this, real Southern and slowly talking.
No, that will never happen. But actually, I am. I got a couple of these emails in front of me right now.
Yeah.
So let me open up one. This one was. Oh, Jesus Christ, I can't even say these fucking words. Uh-oh. Christomathy. Okay, and it means a selection of passages from an author or authors designed to help in learning a language. Well, guess what? I can't even fucking pronounce that goddamn word, so it's not going to help me learn a darn
thing. Crystal meth?
Crystal meth. That might keep me up to be creative. Okay, here's... Stop me if you've heard this one before. Matronymic.
Matronymic. These are even stumping me, yeah, man.
Denoting or relating to a name derived from the name of a mother or female ancestor.
Oh, that makes sense.
But that's what I'm saying. I can't just, like, you know, use this slipping in to try to sound like a smart dude.
Right.
I'm gonna. Yeah. I came
with all your other like two syllable words, and then you're slipping in these words.
Yeah.
No. People are gonna look at you like, "What the fuck? You've been simple this whole time, and now you're dropping this crazy ass word that no one knows."
What the fuck, Captain Caveman, just say? Patriotic? What the hell? Yeah, I don't know, man. But I blame Nate for all of this. It's his fault.
Yeah.
You're just trying to get on his level.
I don't know how, but he's maintained a healthier brain cell count than I have over the years.
Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, when I was a little kid, I'm talking, I think about four even, before I was even in kindergarten, my mother had, she collected all these, I used to make little books where I would illustrate and write little stories, and they were all like self-contained. Like I would write and illustrate these things, and I was 4 years old, and I would phonetically try to sound them out. And I wasn't in school yet or anything, and I just always had a thing for words and what they meant, and I've always been good at spelling. Like, I won a lot of spelling bees as a kid. I don't know what it is, and it just stuck with me. And now I'm that annoying dude, but it comes in handy sometimes. You know?
I didn't say annoying. Okay. Yeah, it was just, I just don't know where my vocabulary has gone over the years. I definitely feel like I'm getting dumber and dumber as each year passes. But, you know, I don't want to talk about my own stupidity because we have a more pressing matter at hand.
Okay.
We haven't even discussed the fact that Toby is severely hungover. So this is the point of the show where we all make loud noises.
That's horrible.
Yeah. As you can hear. So, Tobster, why don't you tell us why you're hungover? What happened last night?
Yeah. Well, for my podcast, the Secret Levels podcast, me and my co-hosts usually do a Patreon episode, kind of like just a behind the scenes of us just bullshitting for 30 minutes or whatever. Right, we decided that after we were going to record our actual episode, we were going to do a Patreon episode where he got high, super high, because he's in Canada, it's legal. I'm in Texas, so I'm going to get drunk, and I got drunk. I after we recorded, I ended up drinking more for no reason, and woke up about 2 o'clock this morning on the couch. Don't remember falling asleep, don't remember laying there. But I was there, so
hey,
yeah.
Well, and here you are, and you're a trooper. You're fighting your way through this haze of hungoverness. And
well, Nate,
and we appreciate.
Think
it.
About this for a second. He had an online sausage party last night. He expects people to pay for. Okay, and he got fucking wrecked, and now he wakes up to do our show here.
Yeah,
but I mean, you look like you're in good form. Don't get me wrong.
I'm
masterful at pretending I'm not hungover, but I am. I did wake up, and so one of our listeners bought a T-shirt, and we made an offhanded joke about them sending us a you know, we need pictures of people with see, this is where you can tell I'm hungover and I can't get my thoughts out clearly. Like, back in the day, like how girls would take pictures in band shirts, but they would only be like in their underwear and in the shirt, right?
Yeah.
We made an offhanded joke about it. And I don't know if you can see this. It's my screensaver now. One of our listeners.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's a grown man with no pants on.
Hey.
Wearing our shirt.
Nice.
He has a beard in it. And I woke up and I was like, yep, that is my screensaver now. And
I worry about you, Tobster. I genuinely, sincerely worry about you.
Hey, wait for Toby's OnlyFans. That's next.
He's got one, remember? Come on, you heard the show, Nate. You weren't here, but you heard. He's got the OnlyFans.
Oh, that's true.
That's another joke that I haven't even... That, like, I had motivation for this big, funny joke about making an OnlyFans, and I still haven't gone through with it.
That's what I'm saying. We need access.
I don't.
Well,
Nate might. I sure as hell don't. Toby, keep it to yourself. I mean, again, more behind the scenes for our listeners, we're actually recording fairly early in the day for us.
So,
that's why Toby is freshly hungover and we might sound a little creaky or have some trouble putting our thoughts together. I happen to have a giant coffee in front of me, which is proving to be very helpful. But listen, you know, the fact that you woke up this morning, someone sent you a picture of themselves in their underpants. It was a man. And your first thought, your first instinct was to immediately put it as the screensaver on your phone, meaning that anybody can see it. Should you end a call and lay it down on a counter or, you know, what have you, you'd be hanging out with your folks or anybody. And they go, hey, who's that?
It's a conversation starter.
Oh, sure
it's
is.
A conversation
sure is. We're talking about it right
all
now.
All about conversation starters.
Yeah.
Well, boy, oh boy. Yeah.
Yeah, just depends on the conversation you want to have, I guess, man. Shit.
Toby does not want to talk about the weather. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. I have a lot of pictures I could start conversations with, but not all of them are welcome conversations.
But this is one I can laugh about and be like, oh, yeah, that's just one of my listeners. No big deal.
Right? That guy's a fan. That guy appreciates the fact that you exist and do what you do.
Yes.
And he felt like showing you his more private moments.
Yeah.
And he's
Australian. And I actually talked to him last night. He jumped in our chat, and I was like, I'm setting it as my background. And he said that his wife was taking the picture for him, and she was like, why are you doing this? And it was just one of those things like, you got to be a guy to understand this kind of thing.
Oh. Like, you know, I've always wanted to do a Selling Out Show live stream or what have you broadcast, but now... Well, I guess second thoughts, kiddo, after seeing what you're rocking on your phone. But I mean, you know, take us throughout the course of the day, Toby. What's next for you? How do you nurse this hangover, eliminate it, kill it, get it out of your brain?
Well, I told you off mic earlier, I have a routine when I have a hangover. You down a water bottle, you down a soda, and so that way you get a little bit of hydration, then you get your caffeine to try to kill it. Probably I should have drank another water bottle. I need something greasy. Something just bad for me.
Some bacon, man. Get some bacon.
I just love how you just said it. Bacon, man. I can't even replicate it.
That actually does sound like I need like IHOP or something. And
fuck, dude.
Yeah, that's how you nurse it. And then you just lay on the couch all day and just waste the day away.
Right. Dude, you know, it goes along with my super geeky, bitchy grammar Nazi-ness is that this morning I had, just before we started, a piece of quiche for breakfast. How bitchy and whatever is that?
Did you? I feel like when you drank your tea with it, you had your pinky out.
And... Of course, that's the quiche pinky.
No, then you know what would be even worse if the next line out of your mouth was, "Oh yes, I had my quiche for breakfast, and now I'm heading to the outlet to look for shoes, for belts, and vests."
I'm in the market for a new belted sweater.
Yeah, I need to go to L.L. Bean. After my quiche. You know how I used to nurse a hangover back in the day, and Nate is very familiar with this, is more booze.
Yeah, more booze.
That's what
some
I would
milk,
do.
Some milk for your stomach, because your stomach would be fucked up.
Yep.
Yep, and booze.
Milk?
That's right. Yeah, milk is a big deal for me. I won't drink anything alcohol-related with milk in it, like a White Russian or anything like that, because milk is separation of church and state.
Right.
Milk is makes me feel good anytime I don't something's wrong with me. It coats my belly, the cold, and it's gonna be freezing cold too. The soothing sensations that goes down my windpipe, or it goes down my throat. Shouldn't be going down my windpipe because you don't want milk in your lungs. But you get the point here, you know.
That would fuck up a hangover even more.
Yeah,
throw some milk down your windpipe.
Yeah. Death by 2%. I don't know, but but still, when I used to drink, man, I wouldn't play around. I would wake up hair of the dog, keep on fucking rocking and rolling. There was days I couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
I sent Nate to the liquor store for me. Go get me some more of my medicine.
Yeah. Dude. So it got so bad. this is me at the time, like, straight up junkie. And Dave and I, Dave was so messed up that there were times Dave would say, Nate, can you run to the fridge and get me another drink or whatever? And I would, there was one time I actually gave you an empty beer bottle and put water in it or something. I forget. I know I've done that before, like actually given you water and you didn't even notice because you were so fucked up. You just kept drinking. But the point is,
beers too, is what kind of light ass beer is this?
Yeah, but I'm such a fuck up at the time, but I would be like, this dude needs to slow down. That's how Dave was. So, but yeah, hair of the dog, man. Little hair of the dog sometimes.
I don't think I've ever woke up like from a heavy night of drinking and just started drinking more. I don't think I've ever done that. I'm always like, all right, my night of drinking is over. We're gonna get some water in me. Yeah. We're gonna get rehydrated, and then we can do it again at, you know, 3 o'clock. Let's
Well, smoking weed is always good, if you ask me. That always helps my mornings when I'm hungover.
Yeah.
But that helps everything for me, personally.
I got randoms for work, can't really partake in that kind of thing.
Fuck those people and their randoms. I'll randomly punch you in the face.
Can you take it? Can you handle it? All right, you pass. Yeah.
This year alone, I've gotten 2 randoms, quote randoms. I've got the long hair. I've got the beard. I look like I'm a hippie. Yeah. I'm with a bunch of, no better way to phrase this, but some good old country boys.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeehaw. So, yeah, some yeehaws. And somehow the hippie looking one out of the entire company has been randomed twice in less than 6 months.
Weird.
Yeah. That's weird. Weird is right. Yeah. I think they're trying to pop me and catch me doing something wrong.
Yeah, you think?
Jesus. I follow the rules.
Yeah, but dude, you got nothing to hide. Yeah. You got a half-naked man on your phone.
Right?
That's true.
There is
That's
no
true.
Secrets.
It just, yeah. it just gets under my skin. Like, why? What are you? Are you one? Do you want to get rid of me that bad that I'm constantly under the radar?
Yeah.
Or two, do you know that I'll pass? So you have to be like, look, if the hippie is passing, all of our guys are passing.
There you go. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
But still, it's still an inconvenience. I got to go to the place and wait in line. And now with COVID, you got to wear the mask. And then you got to pee in a cup. And it's always weird handing someone your pee cup. And you're like, here you go.
Dude, I'm so used to piss tests throughout my life. There was a period of time I couldn't piss without someone watching me. And I still prefer it, but that's just, just a little
funny
kink.
That's fucking funny. I can just imagine you, too, being like, hey, can you come in here for a second? I need some help. Can you just watch me pee?
Will you just talk to me? Just come in here, talk to me.
No, just be quiet. Just stand behind me and watch me intently like I'm doing something wrong.
Yeah. At least at those work piss tests, a lot of times they won't be like in the room with you. A lot of the times they may be like, just go in there and piss and bring it out. But like, dude, I in jail and stuff, there was this guard. He was, I believe, a sergeant, but he always made sure he was the one, like watching the guy's piss, because his thing was, well, I gotta make sure it's done right. I'm the sergeant. I'm the guy in charge. When he could let some little peon, no pun intended, peon guard do the shitty job. But the thing was, it turned out that sergeant happened to be a homosexual, and he was working with all these guys under his control, and he could literally bring them in and look at their junk anytime he wanted by giving them a fucking random piss test. And some of us always found it. He had a certain type. It would always be a couple of us taller guys. None of us, you know, were the types with the rotted out teeth and some of the rougher looking people. It was always like not that I'm a good looking guy. I'm just saying like the better put together guys than some of the guys in there that were getting piss tested. And he'd make you strip down to nothing because he's like, well, I don't want you hiding any urine bottles or something. Like, I got to make sure. So you'd be naked. You stand there like the little kid in elementary school that would drop his pants down to his ankles with the urinal. So you standing there with your butt cheeks showing and pissing in a cup for him. And that same guard, incidentally, I went to jail, and he was there. I was like, I'm going to shave my head. My hair had gotten a little long before I went to jail. I shaved my head, but when I did it, I was like, give me a mohawk to my friend, just for the fuck of it. Let's see if you can make a straight line mohawk. So he gave me a mohawk. Came out kind of nice. This guard, that the same one that would watch us piss, came up to me and was like, hey, you need to shave that off. And I'm like, why? He says, because it could be gang affiliation or something. He made some comment about why my haircut. And I mentioned it to another guard. Like, I'm like, do you know Martin's telling me I got to shave my fucking mohawk off? He goes, he probably just doesn't think you look as cute with it. He honestly, the other guard said that. I was like, holy shit.
Oh, he sounds like Kevin Bacon from Sleepers.
Oh, yeah.
There's a random movie thrown in.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah,
I want a blowjob.
Boys school.
Yeah. He's the rapist there. Yeah, so anybody out there, Google Sleepers, because you probably have no idea what that fucking movie is, but Kevin Bacon plays a prison guard with a,
It was a boys school guard. It was like a school for boys. Like a
prison for boys.
Well, yeah, prison for boys. Like a reform school type thing or whatever. Yeah. But yeah. Yep.
So sounds like you were working with a regular old Kevin Bacon there, man.
That's right. Back to Bacon.
How do you say Bacon earlier? How do you say it?
Bacon.
No,
Bacon. I don't remember.
Yeah, you said it fine. I was going to be like, Kevin Bacon.
Bacon. I don't know.
Wally. So, yeah. So we all nurse our hangovers in different ways, obviously. Toby's is probably the most responsible.
Yeah.
You know.
Some water.
Water.
I mean, Red Bull. Red Bull.
Not drinking again instantly in the morning seems a little more responsible, yes.
Oh, buddy.
A little bit.
I remember a night where I rented a hotel room because I was going to meet this girl. This is an excellent first date, right? And I got as liquored up as humanly possible. I had a fucking boatload of cocaine on me.
Yeah.
And she didn't stick around. She just saw I was a complete fucking high mess. She's like, I don't even fucking this guy. I'm out of here. Whatever. So I ended up just partying in the hotel room, inviting random people over. The next day I wake up, I barely even knew where I was, but I was like, oh, free breakfast. Let me eat some sausage patties. I ate some of those, hit the Coke again. Next thing you know, I was right as rain. So for some reason, it was just, you know, go back to what was successful or what made you happy the day before, and it puts you right back in the mood to be walking the earth.
Yeah, man. Hey. Different strokes, man. Different strokes.
Yes, different strokes for different folks. You got it.
Yeah.
See, I think that's my problem, though, is like even with stuff that doesn't like mess you up like that, like pizza makes me happy the night before, and then I get all down and blue, and then I'm like, I don't know, maybe if I just eat that pizza again, I'll be happy, and now I'm a big fat ass.
Right? But you're a happy fat ass.
I'm a happy fat ass when I get that pizza.
That's right.
So I don't think the hair of the dog is always a good thing.
No, unless it's pizza of the dog, or maybe dog flavored pizza. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, you know, I once looked up hair of the dog to understand what it meant, and I completely, just like my word of the day, I forgot what it was. So I just say it. I don't even know what the fuck it means. I'm just like, yeah, the hair of the dog.
Well, the full phrase is hair of the dog that bit you.
That's
the phrase. Mm. But I don't know where it comes from. It's some witchcraft shit where you need the hair of the dog that bit you and you boil it with some eye of newt and, bacon.
Bacon and eye of newt. That's my hangover cure. Thanks, Broomhilda.
Double.
So, guys, do you have anything else you want to talk about, or should I do my live read? What else is going on with you guys before I jump into the promo spots?
My balls are a little sweaty.
Okay. Easy fix.
That's about it.
Easy. Just dab them with a little baby wipe or something. I don't know, a moist towelette.
Yeah, a little talc.
Talc.
Powder. Maybe.
And bacon. First up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. And listen, do not take advice from us on how to fix a hangover. Obviously, we don't know what the heck we're doing, but what I can recommend is maybe using a little CBD to fix you up. And nobody has more products than alpinehemp.com. They've got it all, anything you can think of to fix any sort of ailment that you can also conceive. So make sure you visit them at alpinehemp.com. Next up, we have NorthlandVapor.com. Throughout the course of our show, I enjoy their e-liquids, and you will too. All of their e-liquids are Diketone and artificial sweetener free, which is important because if you're someone like me and you vape Northland all the time and you try a different juice, you taste it, doesn't really quite go right because, honestly, I think the other crap is toxic. So make sure you visit NorthlandVapor.com. Now, listen, they also have some retail locations in South Fargo, North Dakota, a new location in Osgood, North Dakota, which I just love the name Osgood. I just want to, visit there for some reason because I think it's going to be the streets are made of gold and everybody's happy and what have you. Even me and Toby talked about this last time out. It's relation to the Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Osgood.
And I kind of want to be a member of the Lollipop Guild. I have no idea.
Osgood, the Wicked Witch Bad.
Yeah, there you go. And locations in Moorhead and Bemidji, Minnesota. Now, both these sites, alpinehemp.com, northlandvapor.com, use code SELLINGOUT19, and you will save 19% off your entire order, which is pretty good deal, especially now that Christmas is right around the corner, which is something we haven't talked about yet, gentlemen. Okay, because I'm almost done with my Christmas shopping. I don't know about you guys, but I'm ahead of the curve.
What is that?
Yeah, what is that? Another great gift idea, last but not least, is Spunk Lube. Face it, you're ugly as shit. Your wife doesn't want to sleep with you. Your girlfriend doesn't want to. No! So you know what? Make it a little bit easier for them and buy some Spunk Lube at spunklube.com. Listen, nobody likes chafing. Not a soul on the face of the earth, especially someone who has to actually do some form of sexual activity with you. So get over to spunklube.com right now, and you can thank me later. Now, what do you guys say for, is it a good time for some Nate's Notes?
Sure.
Bacon!
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
The year was 1995, and I was 16. It was an awesome summer. My friends and I at prime ages for carefree teenage hijinks. We definitely partied a lot, but more importantly, a number of us started making music together. It was a magical, musical time all around. As it seemed like even those of us that didn't actually possess skills and or equipment still had a deep appreciation for music in general. I can barely recall a single get-together or even a car ride that didn't include somebody hastily putting in some album for us to all check out or to rock out to. And being the 90s, it was a pretty vibrant time for the art form. Even the stuff on the radio was often fairly interesting, or at least listenable. One day that summer, I remember hearing a song by a new artist on our local rock station that rubbed me the wrong way, however. I had recently come out of a relationship with a girl who was, let's say, really passionate, emotional, kind of psycho, if I want to get honest. Lots of late-night sessions talking her off the proverbial ledge. Lots of teenage melodramatic poems arriving in the mail. Lots of just happening to run into her at my usual hangout spots, coincidentally. And this new song on the radio sounded like it could have been written by this ex-girlfriend. The song was You Oughta Know by Canadian child actor turned recording artist Alanis Morissette. I don't know if I would have had the same immediate reaction to the song had I not been going through said breakup at the time, but either way, the song wasn't really my cup of tea. It was starting to hit that point of the alternative movement where things started to sound manufactured to fit into that alternative framework, so there was that aspect to it too. But really, my issue was with the brazen psycho-ex-girlfriend-ness of Alanis' lyrics and delivery. To this day, the song still kind of sends weird chills down my spine when I hear it, which finally brings me to a sort of point. at this same time period, I was listening to lots of depressing and moody shit, most notably Nine Inch Nails' first couple releases. The first record, 1989's Pretty Hate Machine, is, with maybe three or four exceptions, almost just a collection of melodramatic, borderline obsessive love songs. More specifically, kinda post-love songs. Like Something I Can Never Have, Sanctified, and That's What I Get. A song where Trent Reznor actually sings, "Now I'm slipping on the tears you've made me cry." My point is that, as disturbing as I found Alanis Morissette singing about scratching her nails down someone else's back and hoping her ex can feel it, I was listening to a lot of equally unstable male-penned sentiments and really digging it. I mean, shit, I was as emotionally confused and potentially obsessive as any other hormonal teenager. I wrote my share of shitty, creepy poetry about pining for someone or other who was most likely put off by this hormonal teenager writing shitty, creepy poetry. I was the male pot calling Alanis, the successful, talented kettle, black and psycho. I always just chalked this aversion to You Ought to Know up to the fact that I first heard it when I did. And of course, the radio played the shit out of it when it came out that year, so I would constantly be hearing this surrogate for my ex coming through car speakers driving by or on MTV, in between receiving calls and letters and poems from my actual ex. But a part of me at my advanced age now, in this modern era, wonders if my male brain is being prejudiced towards a female artist expressing herself in a way that I am often cool with when done by male artists. I will note that as I'm trying to think of other emotionally charged female-written breakup songs to bring up here, it's really just this one example that prompted such a visceral reaction. So I think it probably is just the way that it happened to coincide with my own personal issues at the time. I may not be a total toxic male chauvinist after all. Phew. But wait, before I wrap this up, I have to mention one more song that I just thought of. This one is kind of a wild card because it is a song written by an angry, jilted woman, and it does also elicit a creeped out, "Wow, listen to this crazy woman" response from me. But before you think I preemptively let myself off the toxic male hook, hear me out. The song now in question is called "Before He Cheats" by Carrie Underwood, and its chorus is just Ms. Underwood angrily bragging about how after her man cheated on her, she went up to his pickup truck, this is country music, remember, and smashed its windows, popped its tires, ripped up the leather seats, scratched up the paint job, whatever. I don't even feel bad about thinking she sounds nuts and is completely in the wrong here. Despite her refrain of "maybe next time he'll think before he cheats," she still comes out looking like the bad guy, no matter how many drunk chicks sing along when the song comes on at the local honky-tonk. If you want to get back at him for cheating, just bang some of his friends like a decent woman. No need to bring property damage into this. I think if Trent Reznor wrote songs where he got back at his ex by spray-painting the word "slut" on her car, it may have been more cringe-inducing than writing about slipping on his own tears, which, now that I think about it, actually sounds like gothic slapstick or something. Anyway, I've rambled enough. Breakups suck for everyone. Write a song. It may creep out a listener somewhere, but it's better than getting locked up for malicious destruction of property.
You know, Nate, I think you need to smile more. Really, I do, really. But that's an interesting take on that, because you're right. I was thinking about You Ought to Know, and I always associated it with just psychopathic teenage girls, because that came out at the time when we were teenagers, and the girls that listened to it that I knew of were nutbags, right?
Yes.
But on the same token, like you said, listen to more aggressive or upset kind of lyrics by males was an acceptable thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all the time, man. It's weird. Yeah. Right? Like, so that's why I was saying, part of me is like, am I being like, is it this, I don't want to say glass ceiling, that's not the right term, but like, is it this male woman shrill, you're calling her shrill when you call a man like strong or I don't know, but I think no, it's just some songs, just that one in particular, like I said, it was when it came out, and that Carrie Underwood bullshit where she's singing about rip, like, dude, how many girls can get away with singing about destroying some dude's shit? Like, if a guy started singing about, like, I burned her house down because I was pissed off at her or whatever, it's like, dude, he would fucking get locked up or he'd, or, you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just, it's kind of fucked up. But
no,
anyway,
I can see it. I can see it. Yeah. I mean, yeah, totally. If a guy just said, yeah, I went and I smashed up her car and this and that, they'd be like, what a fucking, how is this guy not institutionalized? He has some serious issues, but with Ms. Underwood, as you called her, she's Ms. You know, it's acceptable. And people are singing along and having a good old time. They're like, that's right. Yeah. That motherfucker stuck his dick in the wrong hole for the last time. And now his Ford F-150 has slashed tires.
Fuck.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. How about you, Tobster?
I'm really trying to think of, like, because I listen to a lot of aggressive music, and it's mostly males, and like, if it has to do with like lovey-dovey breakups and stuff like that, it does seem like a guy approach to it is usually either just it seems like it's just all anger, but it doesn't seem like it's corny of the, I mean, some of it is, I won't lie, but like, some of it's not corny as like, I'm breaking their property, I'm doing this, like, it's like, I fucking hate you, kind of like, but like, women, see, now I'm gonna sound like a piece of crap right here,
whatever,
like, I feel like women deal with it better, because in a lot of the like women kind of breakup songs, it's like, I'm gonna be stronger from this, I'm gonna be better, and he's a piece of crap, but like, it seems like from the guy's point of view, it's always like, no, you're a piece of crap. Like, I'm not getting better. This is the worst that it can be. So I don't know. I was really trying hard to be like, how many women, female artists have I listened to with breakup songs that I'm like, that's relatable. I follow that. But I honestly can't think of too many.
You know, can I ask you guys a question? It's an age-old question relating to the double standard.
Sure.
And it goes something like this. If a dude sleeps with a bunch of chicks, that's cool, right? But if a girl sleeps with a bunch of guys, she's a slut.
Right.
Would you ever take an issue with that? Let's say you met a girl, she's very nice, but you found out she slept with 100 guys.
Yeah.
Would that bother you, or do you care? What's your stand on that?
What do you say, Toby? I'll let you go.
Okay. So, movies have always been a big influence. I have to say that because I reference Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
In this case, because
finger cuffs.
Yes, I've always loved the movie, just because of the thought of you did all these things. That's your past.
Yeah.
It's not my past. It's your past. We're doing our thing now. So from this point forward is what matters.
Right.
So to me, I mean, like, this person may have this awful, they're a whore. They've slept with 500 guys in a single day, and they had the record for the gangbang record in a single day. And you're like, okay, but is everything going to be cool with me and her? Like,
Well, you know?
I mean, I look past it because, you know, sometimes it is one of those rebellious things. Well, I'm going to fuck every person that walks past me just because I'm angry at my ex-boyfriend. And that's fine. You went through a phase. You're out of it, hopefully. And you're not going to do me wrong.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but Toby, you indicated it as being an awful thing.
No, I mean, I don't think it's awful that people go through their phases of like, fuck it, anyone that walks past me. Me particularly, I'm not that guy. Like I'm old fashioned, I suppose.
Okay.
I haven't been around the block too much, but it doesn't affect my thoughts on like, oh, she has? That's fine.
Right.
She's got crazy stories of four guys.
Well, you got an imagination on you there, kiddo. I'm not even saying that. You know what I mean? She just had a consensual, good time with however many people that she saw fit. It didn't have to be a fucking crazy gangbang or anything like that you're bringing up right now because, again...
Well, I'm just saying, like, I feel like in Chasing Amy, I'm referencing it again, one of the things he freaks out the most about is that her nickname was Finger Cuffs, and she basically got double-teamed, and it kind of, like, sets him off. So that's why I keep bringing up like really crazy experiences, because I think a lot of people can look past numbers of partners. Right. I think it's when people are like, wait a minute, like you did this. Mm. I think that's when it gets people really. So all I'm saying is I look past it all because I mean, that's your past.
Yeah, dude. And I'm with you. I think like, I don't know. I think that people get way hung up on that sort of shit. If guys could get laid as easily as women do, they would be doing it all the time. And you'll hear guys there, the argument is always, yeah, but a dude goes into a girl's letting a bunch of dudes into her, and like, you know, that's the argument. That's the best argument you got. And it's just like, you know what? If sex feels good for all of us, so if I had the opportunity to get laid as much as a woman can by just basically saying, hey, I'm open for business if you want to come in. If I could do that, there are a lot of times I would have done that. And I'm not somebody that's ever been like, my problem isn't with how many people you've slept with. My problem is if you have a history of cheating on people. Like, that's my issue. Because I've never been somebody that's been a cheater personally. Like, I'm more apt to just break up with the person, usually, if I'm tired of, like, what's the line? For every beautiful, hot, sexy, amazing chick, there's a guy that's tired of fucking her. It's like, I don't know. I just think that, I don't know. I don't even know where I was going. But basically, yeah, I don't care either, man. It's like, your past is your past. Don't cheat on me. And if you got a history of cheating on people, I'm less likely to trust you. But I don't really care how many people you fucked, man. Because if I had the option to do it, I would have done it too. So, yeah, man. Open-minded.
Yeah. What about you, Dave?
Well, I was going to say, it bothered me more as a young person because I associate sex with power.
Right. I remember
that
you used to.
And I would have a pretty good imagination. Not like Toby's gangbang per se, but, you know, where I could really kind of put myself into those past relationships she might have been in.
Mm.
And I would just be like, ugh, it'd be cringe-inducing for me at the time, thinking about this girl being objectified and used as a piece of meat. And now she's with me. But now, as with age, you know, you mellow. You relax, you start realizing like, hey, you know, it's just the way life is. I have a past, we have pasts, what have you.
Yeah.
So no, that does not affect me one iota. If I met somebody, I enjoyed their company. I don't care if they, did whatever with whoever, whenever they wanted to. This has no consequence or bearing on what we're living now.
Right.
Yep.
Unless she was the horse porn girl. Which I've talked about in the past.
The gallon of milk girl?
Yeah.
The gallon of milk.
That wiffle ball bat girl. That would be a tough one to deal with.
That's why I'm saying, like, yeah, the numbers you're fine with, but a lot of time it's that specific act where you're like, I don't know.
The finger cuffs.
I heard she had sex with her dog, and you're like, I can't even think about that. That's out of the question. So that's why I was really like, yes, the numbers I know will affect some people's.
Right.
But it's definitely the acts, because
Well, okay.
Or
wait, no, tell us. I got to interrupt you with this because you oftenly, you're very Howard Stern-like with your letting the world know you have a very tiny micro penis.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay, let's say you met a girl, you like her. And
wait, let me time out 1 second. I need to specify. I always say it's small because then I don't disappoint later on. Uh-huh. So there you go. There you go. Okay, now continue.
Okay. Now, would it be worse for you? I know you said you don't really care about numbers, but imagine you met this girl, you fall in love with her. She's had 1,000 lovers. Or if you just knew this one girl who you're into her, but her last boyfriend had this massive, giant manhood that you could never compare to. Would that affect you at all, knowing that you have such a small member?
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
I can give you a real-life Toby dating story scenario. Okay, so there was this girl that I was talking to for maybe a week or two.
Long time, sure.
Yeah, it fell off real quick. Anyways, one of the conversations, she was like, I've only been with one other guy. And she was my age, which is very impressive.
Yeah,
it's very rare. So I was like, oh, man, that's pretty cool. But then I got in my own head and I was like, wait a minute. I don't think I would want to have sex with her. She's only had one other guy with her. Mm. That means I'm either going to be the best or the fucking worst. And there was no way I could live up to those standards of like trying to outperform one other guy. Now, wow. If there's 100 other guys or 1,000 other guys or 1,000 other big dong guys,
right.
Maybe, I'm at least better than two or three of them. So,
yeah, you're not the worst.
Exactly. So, yeah.
But you could be the worst.
Or if it,
you gave up the 50-50
but
odds.
The
yeah, your odds are better. Yeah,
but yeah.
More. Yeah.
But listen, maybe it's been like 10 years since she slept with this person, that person, and that person. So, like, they don't really remember how good it really was. So, I've got that advantage, too.
Oh, totally.
So, But I really honestly, now the conversation, I guess we just didn't click, but that was one of my big concerns was like, I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure. Mm. Being the best or the worst. So
I think you need to go head to your local supermarket, buy a couple bags of Fritos and talk to your therapist about it. While she's ringing you out, because man, this is this is some pretty in-depth thinking that you've put into place here wherein you're that concerned. Over the, like, only one guy? Well, geez, I don't want to be the worst. I mean, who cares? So,
it's the opposite of what you think. It's like, I don't care if she's been with 100 guys. It's only one. Fuck that.
Yeah, that's such a weird,
so bizarre
thing.
But it makes sense. You've explained yourself very well as far as I'm concerned. Like, that makes a lot of sense. I just, like, you know, fuck it, just... If she's got something to say about it, you know, you just smack her in the mouth, you know.
Oh, see, I just, listen.
I'm just kidding, folks.
My ego is so fragile as it is. Like, I just imagine, like, this is how, like, in my own head I get about everything. I just imagine that one of those fights and there, she's like, you're the fucking worst. And I'm like, wait a minute, there's only one other guy. My ego would just be shattered even more than it already is.
Your ego is already ruined. What are you worried about? You got nowhere to go but up. There is no other way to go but up here, dude.
That's why I need just the littlest bit of ego boost, and I can't have that. Because then, at least in my head, if she's like, oh, yeah, you're the worst person I ever fucked, and she's been with 100 guys, and I can be like,
yeah,
you don't know that. Yeah, you don't have a scoreboard.
I wonder, to the audience, if we just sound like dude bros when we talk about this kind of stuff, which is terrible, considering Nate gave us a really interesting piece to discuss, and I immediately went to the most basic, bare-bones part of any kind of maybe... discussion topic with this whole thing, but I couldn't help but ask, you know what I mean? But but do we make up our opinions the vast majority of guys our age, or are we like, I don't know. I'm very curious.
Who knows?
About this.
Who knows?
Feel like it's part of the taboo is like, we don't normally talk about that kind of thing. Like, so people don't know. So hopefully people are genuinely interested in like, no, I've always wondered this. Like, do other guys feel the same way as me?
Right.
So and women listening too could be like, yeah, I've always like I guess I should be careful about how I say it, but one of my exes was so concerned with her past, like, she wouldn't tell me a number, or she'd be like, I don't know. She just wouldn't talk about it, which I assume was a lot, but, like, it didn't matter. You know, like... And I never, like, hounded her to, like, well, come on now. Let's count. Let's write them down.
Yeah, but you really want to know.
I do think there should be good communication. I think there should be good communication in a relationship. And, like, if I feel like that's, again, Chasing Amy, that's part of the reason is, like, they're and I know that's a movie. It's a story.
Well,
where everybody just yells at each other the whole movie.
Well, like, there's no communication about each other's past. And that's fine, but when something comes up, it's like, yeah, by the way, I feel like you should communicate.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, because we're talking about it ad nauseum, one of the best scenes in Chasing Amy is Jason Lee's character drawing the four-way street.
Yes, with the bunny and the Easter bunny.
Santa Claus.
Yeah. And,
but the other thing, too, is in Clerks, I guess keeping on the Kevin Smith train here was
37?
Yeah. 37 dicks. So
is that before or after me?
Yeah, exactly. He was very concerned. Dante, I think it was Dante's character, right? Yes, who is?
Yeah, it's Dante because Randall's the
Randall was the other guy.
Yeah,
right?
So Dante's overly concerned with how many dicks his girlfriend has sucked over the course of her life. Now, guys, I can freely admit, as a young person, I was a terrible, terrible guy. I was not a good man at all, and you know, there's no real true
you
excuse
had lots of
for
dick.
It. What? Say what now?
I said you had lots of dick,
Kevin.
I mean, that's what this
Bacon.
Whole conversation.
No. But what I'm trying to get at was, you know, I can try to excuse myself and say, listen, I was confused. I was trying to feel everything out. The scenario. I didn't have a dad when I was growing up, so I didn't have any kind of like guiding light. And the limited experience I did have with my father was a bad one because he wasn't a good man. And it's taken me a lot of years to try to develop. This sense of doing what's right and being more honorable, I guess, and more respectful and everything else. And I'm not there yet fully. And it's been like this whole process of evolving.
Yeah.
And yet, as I say this to you right now, I always worry about how I do in fact come off because I want to be a champion for the right causes.
Yeah.
I want to do the right thing.
Right,
and that's my goal. But even then, like I just said, I'm worried people are going to think we sound like dude bros. Because that's not how I want to be. That's not how I want to be portrayed. But at the same time, I want to be honest about who I am and where I am at any point in life. And especially with my relationship with women.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, yeah.
Do you guys also feel that way? Yeah. Do you feel like there's many miles left to go here? Or do you feel comfortable in your stances? And
personally?
Yeah.
I think personally. I mean, I've always been, not to toot my own horn, but I think, no, I've always been pretty good. I guess there was a little bit, I mean, there's the typical when you're young, you're just kind of naive or ignorant where, like I said, I was like, this chick I'm breaking up with, this relationship that's breaking up, she's a psycho and she's writing me all these it's like, she was probably just hurt. Like, it was probably one of her first relationships. We were kids and I'm all like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm calling her a psycho and this and that. But as I even admitted in my piece, I wrote a lot of psycho poetry and probably wrote letters to girl or whatever. It's like, I'm sure I was a nut to some people. And so on that side of things, yeah, I've probably come a little, I've come a long way. But as far as like the sex thing, like I said, my whole problem has just basically been with like, fidelity, like people cheating on me. I got cheated on when I was a teenager and I fucking, it put a bad taste in my mouth. And it wasn't just cause I was eating her out and I could taste his load.
Oh, but, we've come a long way, baby.
Anyway, but no, I don't know. Anyway. Yeah. No, I feel like I'm trying to be an enlightened cat and I feel like in general, society's getting better, you know, but I don't know. We obviously we always have room to grow. So
I feel like I mean I've got my set of beliefs and stuff, and I'm always open to hearing other opinions, and that's I consider myself pretty open. Like I've been on stage in front of people talking about me having a tiny dick and not being able to talk to women. Mm. I think those are taboo things that people don't want to talk about. Yes, I have a funny joke. Well, I say funny, but like it's that way. I don't disappoint anyone if I tell everyone it's small. But
right.
I feel like a lot of things are very taboo and people don't talk about sure. things, so we don't learn. And like you said, like the first girlfriend that you break up with, it's if you're their first, like, yeah, they're going to be psycho because they don't know how to deal with it. Because, and you know what? It could be the 90th person that they've dated and they still don't know how to deal with it because
sure.
heartbreak sucks. I mean, I had my divorce almost 2 years ago at this point, and I'm shit. Still trying to deal with it and still trying to process it. And,
yeah, man.
But we don't talk about it. And
right.
that's why I always try to be open, because like this conversation of well, if a woman – does it matter if a woman has slept with a bunch of people?
Right.
This conversation doesn't get brought up. So like both parties, like guys don't know if how they feel is okay or if it's
yeah.
weird, or women don't know like how men feel about it. So – I'm cool with the open and everyone talking and learning, because it might change my opinion. So
right.
yeah.
Change someone's. It might yeah. change someone's, you know. Yeah, man.
I'm just imagining there's a girl right now in her early 40s sitting somewhere reminiscing about her youth, going, geez, I dated this fucking nutbag who would listen to Nine Inch Nails all the time. He was always he's always dressed in black.
Black.
And God, I wonder what happened to that poor son of a bitch.
That piece of shit.
Let me pop on some Alanis Morissette and think about it.
Yeah. I'm going to scratch my nails down someone's back and hope he feels it.
Go down on him, man.
A theater.
Baby, cut it out. Yeah.
Cut it out.
Yeah, that's just bizarre. Yes. That's something that would bother me if I knew the girl just exclusively banged guys who wore Hawaiian shirts.
Right, right.
It's like,
or the cast of Full House
yeah,
in general.
Yeah, or like, hey, oh, my ex-boyfriend was Gallagher. I'd be like, Jesus Christ,
yeah.
I can't bang
yeah.
you. I can't do anything with you. This is gross now. This is disgusting.
Yeah.
You know?
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Ugh.
So, anyway, I think that just about does it, boys. What do you guys say?
I think so, too. Yeah, man, I'm good. I feel like I've purged something, and it's not just because I shit myself while we were talking.
Clean that up. Clean up that filthy mess. But, yeah, I think we've gotten a few things out today. We've spoken, which is good. I got to go watch The Mandalorian with my son.
Right,
this is a joy of mine, The Mandalorian.
Yeah, man.
Because it's family-friendly
cool.
entertainment, which is...
Nice. I still haven't watched it yet.
Well, it's okay.
It.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What are you guys doing for the rest of the day? Anything good before we get out of here?
Not today, but tomorrow I'm helping a friend and friend of the show with something she needs help with. I'm not tooting my own horn. I just wanted to give a shout-out that, you know, sometimes we get to... have personal relationships with our listeners, and a great listener of ours and friend has been a supporter for a long time. I mentioned before our listener, Melissa, she helped me out a lot when I was in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and now I get a chance to help her a little bit tomorrow with, she's moving. So I'm getting to help her move, which is nice. And I'm not saying it, like I said, to say, ooh, I'm helping. So I'm saying it because it's nice that, you know,
we have
a friendship.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But this is also a great thing to promote, because if you are a fan of the show, Nate will help you move a couch.
Fucking A. Even with my rotted out back.
Yeah.
With the...
See? So we don't stay up all night getting drunk on Patreon like Toadster here.
No.
Show up at your house and tend to your garden and chop some wood do what needs to be done. So there you go. Just be a fan of the show. Follow us on our socials at Selling Out Show. Or write us an email, sellingoutshow@gmail.com, and we are happy to perform manual labor for you. We might even send hungover Toby your way, and he will tell you lousy dick jokes, too.
He'll go down on you in a theater.
You can't just say it like in a theater. You got to do it like full out.
Yeah. Down on you in a theater.
Toby.
I can't do
that. I'm waiting for you, Toby.
Oh, no, don't make me
do it.
You've made me sing before. No. Come on now.
Toby's hungover in a theater.
Please don't sing like that.
All right. Well, that does it. We're getting the out of Dodge. I just totally censored myself. Did you hear that?
I did.
I used to love doing that when I was a kid. Get the out of my house. So anyway, we're getting the out of here. I am Dave. That is Toby. And that guy over there is Nate. And this has been
The Selling Out Show.
Peace.
Wake up, the devil looks so good.